an interview with Stephanie Scott about her recent resignation from the Haynesboro Energy Sustainability Commission, a green sea turtle found near Ketchikan. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Bern Power. Those stories coming up. At the end of November, Stephanie Scott resigned from the Haynesboro's Energy Sustainability Commission. KHNS was able to interview her and to both look back and forward concerning the borough's progress in conserving energy. Scott relates the reasons for her decision to resign from the commission.
I feel like we're ready to move to the next level, and I think the next level requires expertise beyond the expertise that I bring to the project. I can do outreach and website management and things like that, but one of the things that the assembly has noted, and the commissioners too, and the facilities manager, is that we need a much more sophisticated way to track the energy consumption of the buildings, to acknowledge the impact of usage on the consumption, the impact of weather on the consumption. Only if you take that kind of a look can you really tell how to conserve and where your waste is. And I really think, you know, that requires a level of expertise that I don't possess. When I started, I worked 20 hours a week, and that was really good, and I could do a lot. And then I cut back to 10 hours a week, and sometimes it's not even that, just because of the time constraints. So I really feel like it's time to give somebody else a crack at it who can dedicate more energy and either learn what needs to be learned or maybe comes already equipped.
She goes on to discuss what she feels would be helpful directions for the borough.
I think that building science expertise would be really helpful. I doubt that we can afford to hire a resource manager. In my most recent report, which is on our website right now, I do cite a couple of different webinars that the government could participate in and some models that they could look at for doing this kind of sustainability work. I think that the assembly is moving in the right direction, and I think that the manager is positioned to design a program that he thinks will be effective, and he has my full support to do that.
Scott also wrote a handbook that she suggested the borough follow for energy use guidelines.
Well, things like turning computers off, making sure that they're on energy saver mode, not using screensavers, very, very simple things. Certainly using CFLs or LEDs, and when it's time to replace anything, making sure that what you're replacing the old with is the Energy Star, highly efficient appliances or electronics, that kind of thing. It's in the pamphlet that the Borough Assembly has been presented with as a template for this guidebook. There are several pages that are mythbusters, and it explodes some of those myths about, oh, I should leave the lights on because I'm using more energy if I turn them off, you know, frequently. And that just isn't true. You know, turn it off. Always turn it off.
Scott hopes that the Energy Commission will continue to provide the community with more services.
I would love to see the weekly radio program Energy Talks revitalized, and that was one of the recommendations that I made to the Energy Sustainability Commission, that they, you know, each commissioner, you know, take on a topic, and that the kids in the high school energy systems and power class, Mark Fontenot's group, take that on too. And there's some interest in that, but it needs to be coordinated and done like that. That's very helpful. One of the things that people have to understand is the best way to save energy is to A, turn energy utilizing appliances off when you're not using them. But the other thing is to invest in energy efficient appliances.
When KHNS asked Stephanie Scott which of the aspects of the Energy Sustainability Commission she was most proud of, she replied,
well, there are two things. One are the radio programs, because I just think that gave voice to the people in this community who were practicing energy conservation, energy efficiency, developing renewable sources of energy. And I thought that was very helpful. And the second thing were the two energy fairs that we put on. I I thought those were terrific. And our last one that we combined with the Haynes Friends of Recycling was really fantastic. And I enjoyed that tremendously. And I hope that that will continue. It does take planning and work. I mean, if there's going to be an energy fair, the work needs to be started now.
The Haynes Borough granted a 90-day extension to the Energy Sustainability Commission, which expires on January 31st. Yet when KHNS asked ESC board members and borough clerk Julie Causey the status of the commission, the most definitive answer we received was that it was in limbo. The website says it is no longer being maintained, and all inquiries were directed to the Haynes Borough clerk. A rare green sea turtle carcass was recently found far from its usual waters in Ketchikan. Maria Dudzak in Ketchikan has the story.
Ketchikan resident Dennis Diamond was beachcombing near Bond Bay on Cleveland Peninsula when he came across the animal. Diamond says he left the turtle on the beach and contacted the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Ketchikan to inform them of his find. Scott Walker is the area management biologist for ADF&G.
It was on Friday is when he saw it, so that would have been about December 3rd. We had some discussion. It is an endangered animal. So there are permits required for individuals to have these sort of animals in their possession. And so he actually went back out and got it, brought it into the office here, and we took a look at it and did determine it was a green sea turtle, which is a fairly uncommonly seen animal here, although we have had several other reported green turtles in the past.
Walker says in the northern hemisphere on the west coast, green sea turtles are most commonly found in the warmer waters off Southern California and Mexico. Walker says though sea turtles are generally found in warmer waters, they occasionally are spotted in Alaskan waters, either swimming north or being carried by currents.
Quite commonly, fishermen will come in and say they had one in their seine net that they released, or they saw one swimming by, or they knew so-and-so that had an encounter on a beach. And so talking to our veterinarian up in Fairbanks, it's not uncommon. She actually had a couple of specimens still in the freezer, I believe she said, from 2 years ago. I can remember, it wasn't very long ago, one washed up out by Valner View Trader Park on the beach there. It was in the front page of the paper or the waterfront section here a couple, 3 years ago. So every now and then one comes by.
He says he's not sure how this turtle made its way to Alaska, but because of the condition and orientation of the animal on the beach, believes it likely swam into the area and died recently.
It was on a beach that was kind of out of the way of like the tides and the surf and the current. So, and my knowledge of that area, which is quite detailed, would suggest that she had to have swam there and not got washed in by a storm or by a tide. And all indications are she crawled up on that beach for whatever reason and was alive when it happened.
Walker says as soon as the turtle was moved, eggs dropped out of the animal.
Clearly a female, had little golf ball-sized yellow eggs, very soft. We found out that a turtle such as this might even have three different clutches or three different sized eggs in their clutch. And so if they were fertilized, they could do it three different times. But the eyes had been picked out by ravens, we understand, and there was a little tear by the left flipper. But a beautiful animal, didn't smell at all, very firm. It just very interesting for the biologists here. We don't have any turtle experts, and so it was a bit touch and go, but it was very fascinating for all of us here.
He says because the green sea turtles are an endangered species, opportunities to analyze their remains are limited, and he says it's rare to find a dead sea turtle in such good condition. Walker says because ADF&G has no turtle experts in the state, after the initial necropsy to determine the cause of death, portions of the animal will be sent to turtle researchers in Hawaii for more detailed study.
What kind of diseases they have and just a little more information of how normally a turtle operates. I think it's very clear that he came into waters that are not very friendly to him, and there's all sorts of other answers that researchers would love to find out about an animal such as this, which is endangered.
Walker says the 170-pound turtle was sent intact to the ADF&G office in Fairbanks, where a necropsy was conducted. Boyd Porter, a wildlife management biologist with ADF&G in Ketchikan, says he received the results from veterinarian Kimberly Beckman late last week.
When She got into the stomach and into the cecum of this turtle. It had two different types of plastic garbage bag material, pieces of those, and a wad of monofilament fishing line. And those had impacted in that stomach and had prevented normal function, and over time had caused the septicemia in that turtle, so it caused an irritation and then an infection, and that probably led to its dying 2 weeks ago.
Porter says this is the first known female sea turtle found in Alaska. He says of the 15 other sea turtles documented in the state since 1960, most were scavenged and in poor condition. He says sea turtles don't reach sexual maturity until they're 5 years old, also making it difficult to determine whether they are male or female. Porter says one green sea turtle was found alive near Cordova in 1996 and sent to SeaWorld in San Diego. Because the green sea turtle is an endangered species, Walker says getting permits to conduct research is a lengthy process, and he's not sure when studies will be completed on the animal. Both Walker and Porter hope at some point the shell and skeletal portions of the animal can be returned to ADF&G in Ketchikan for display and educational purposes. In Ketchikan, I'm Maria Dudzak.
This is Burn Power for KHNS News. Tara Bicknell returns in January.